I am Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.
So, hello, I am Jimbo Paris. Welcome again to the Jimbo Paris Show. I am on, and today I'm going to be interviewing an entrepreneur, host of the Killer Family Business Podcast, and he's also the author of What You Need to Know in Order to Have a Family Business book. So, let's bring him on into the show and see what he has to say. Apologies about
that. Hi, Jimbo, how are you?
Let's get started with the first question. What is it that you specifically do?
So I help family businesses to scale their business through the generations, to be able to put the right person in the right place to help the family business to grow through the generations.
Okay. And why did you start your business? What drives you to pursue this goal that you have?
So for many years, we've been doing personality profiling. We do strategy consulting. We do strategy workshops. We do strategy planning with businesses of all sizes. Well, predominantly kind of 5 million and between 5 and 1 million euro size businesses here in Ireland. But my particular interest is in family businesses because I've grown up in two family businesses. I bought the first family business from my family about 12 years ago now, sold it 2 years ago, right before COVID. But I bought the other business, which I'm currently growing, about 5 years ago now. So, and that's where one of the arms of what we do in this business now is successful succession, where we help you to build a killer family business without killing your family.
Okay. And what is a family business?
So traditionally, really the term family business only started becoming popular in the last kind of 60 years. Before that, every business traditionally was a family business. So if you think back to all of the early, the grocery stores, the corner shops in the US, any small businesses or farms or anything in Ireland and the rest of Europe, they were all family businesses. You were born into a family and you were working in that family unless you went off to be an accountant or an engineer or something else. So pretty much all businesses were family businesses. It's only really with the Industrial Revolution, when things started to get really big, that there would be corporations where people would buy in and there wouldn't necessarily be a single family or a single unit of family in charge of everything and overseeing everything. So really a family business can be, in this day and age, can be made of any grouping, I suppose, of people who are either tied by blood or tied by relationship, by marriage or whatever, long-term commitments, that are working together, that are also sharing their personal life as well as their professional life.
Okay. And how do you get your work done in this structure?
So we have the podcast to interview people, to be able to take some of the learnings from the people that have been there and done that, who have gone through the process of running a family business, whether they've inherited it, whether they've bought it, whether they've set it up with their siblings or with their spouses or whatever. And then we get people contacting us looking for more information. So it'll usually start with some kind of a discovery call. I'll have a one-to-one kind of half an hour Zoom call with somebody from Australia, South Africa, Europe, America, wherever, to get an idea of what their particular scenario is. Then if we decide to go down, okay, well, let's do some personality profiling for each of the family members, do feedback sessions with each of the family members so they can see their own strengths, they can see what they bring to the table. We can start to identify some unconscious biases, which is generally what leads to the stresses between the generations. And then we can start looking at some strategic planning, strategic thinking for how the business is going to scale. I'm not a tax advisor. I don't look after any of the tax or the legal side of things because it is different from country to country. So they need to have somebody else for that. Really what I'm there is to try and make sure that the interpersonal relationships are solid.
What do you think are sort of the unique challenges and also benefits of owning a family business in comparison to sort of the typical modern day LLC or corporation?
Yeah. So a lot of family businesses tend to be more fiery inside. And sometimes people who are new to family businesses, if they've worked in the corporate world, they can get a bit shocked by, let's say, a brother and sister in the second generation really screaming at each other, having a real disagreement over something which is maybe not that important, or it is important and they just haven't, instead of going through the passive aggressive kind of, well, as per my previous email and all the rest of it, they actually just let each other have it. And everybody thinks that if I talk to any colleague like that, we'd be in court, we'd be in everything else. Whereas 10 minutes later, the family is over it. They're like, okay, that's fine. We move on to the next thing. What's in it for the business? So the air can get cleared a lot quicker. One of the phrases that I have is, they say that blood is thicker than water, but blood can boil a lot quicker than water given the right circumstances. So family can really push each other's buttons. One of the things that we used to hear all the time when we had the language school, for example, the reason that a lot of our clients used to send us repeat business was that they knew that if something happened after in the evening, in the middle of the night or something like that, that they would be able to contact us as the family owners and somebody would get up out of bed and go fix the problem, as opposed to a corporation where it's like, oh, well, that's not my responsibility. And the person who's responsible for that is not on until 9 o'clock in the morning. So send an email and they'll deal with it then. So there is that sense of more familiarity, which can be a double-edged sword. As I said, people can lose patience with each other a bit quicker, but also they can have deeper relationships with people beyond the family.
So what are you passionate about in your business and work?
Through the whole business. So we have the succession planning is one part of our business. The other parts, we do interview skills, we do career guidance for individuals, and we do selections for company, where we use personality profiles and ability, natural verbal, numerical, abstract reasoning aptitudes. So our core focus is fueling aspiration and empowering people and organizations be able to put the right person in the right place, to have the right career for the right person. So we want to help companies select the right people for the roles that they're trying to fulfill. And we want to help individuals to find the right careers for them. And in succession planning, obviously, that's a huge part of it. Who's the right person to take us through this part? And then do the family business owners, do they actually want to join it? And how can we help them to be the best version of themselves?
How long did it take for you to find success?
Like all entrepreneurs, we all suffer from this imposter syndrome. So every now and again, when you think like, hey, I'm running a good business, or I have a good team of people, or make X amount of profit or whatever, we think we're brilliant. But there's always that nagging feeling in the back of your head going, yeah, I'm a bit of a fraud. I'm kind of chancing it. I don't really have all the answers, but people are looking at me like I have them. So everybody feels that sense of imposter syndrome.
Mm. How did you overcome imposter syndrome?
So I'm in a peer-to-peer networking group. So it's called Entrepreneurs Organization. It's a global network of entrepreneurs around the world. I think it's about 16,000-17,000 members, 200 chapters around the world. And we have monthly forums, and it's all about experience sharing and about being able to help each other get through some fairly difficult things in life. So it's the 5%, if any of your listeners are entrepreneurs, they should check it out, eonetwork.org. So part of it is spending time in forum, talking about that kind of stuff, being able to speak about it instead of just letting it fester in your mind. And I find a lot of the time when I have issues in life, when I have problems, when I have negative thoughts, and when I have these doubts and niggling doubts, when I talk about it with somebody who's receptive to hear, so my wife or EO or a couple of friends that I can talk to, I find it has less power over me then, because as I'm saying it, some of the things that I've been thinking and telling myself are true. As you start saying them, you realize actually that's not the case at all, but your brain plays tricks on you to make you believe that it's the case.
So you're saying find a power circle. That's a term that I've heard before, a circle that sort of people that can sort of cheer you on and be there for you.
So it's not necessarily cheer you on. There are times when you actually need people to challenge you. Like if you're coming up with some assumptions, and if you're going down a road with arrogance, it can lead to a fall as well. So it's really a peer network. The power circle I get But it's people who are willing and open and whose genuine interest is to see you succeed as well as your genuine interest is to see them succeed. It's a peer-to-peer thing. To be able to have those frank and open conversations without any vested interest. The only interest that you have in the other person's success is their success, not that you get a piece of that action or you get a 10% here or you get a kickback later on. So having those networks is really, really important and really important for personal growth. You have to be interested in personal growth.
Can you explain to us what a psychometric test is?
Sure. Sorry. A psychometric test is basically anything that is to do with the mind, with the psychology of the mind. So it can be an aptitude. So whether you're good at verbal skills, whether you're good at verb numeracy, abstract reasoning, or your different personality traits, like how you're likely to behave in different scenarios. So anything that measures something like that is called a psychometric assessment because it measures the psychology.
How do you use psychometric tests in your business?
There's a couple of ways we use psychometrics and personality profiles. So the first one is for career guidance. When we have somebody who's looking to get some direction in their career, we'll give them an interest inventory, which is a way of assessing what kinds of things they're likely to be interested in, whether they know that they're interested in those things or not. So there's a series of questions and then they answer yes, like scale it on 1, 0 to 6. We have aptitudes for verbal skills, numerical skills, and abstract reasoning skills. There are multiple ways of recording intelligences and multiple intelligences that exist in the world, kinesthetics, dance, everything. But we've found and research has shown that within a typical job and a typical career framing, you can get a 99 or 95% accuracy with just verbal skills, numerical skills, and abstract reasoning skills is to predict how well that person is likely to do in a particular field, depending on their scores. And then we do a personality profile. So we put those three things together for the client, and then we have a conversation. We give them a short list of anywhere between 8 and 12 careers, usually one-to-one, which gives them an idea of where they could take, what they would be good at, what they would be interested in doing, and what direction that they can take for their careers. For companies, then, we do selection. So if you're looking for a C-suite individual and you say, okay, my ideal candidate is this, and you have a list in your job description of your person spec and kind of the roles that you want them to be good at, we can identify then which personality traits they're likely to need in order to do that well. And then we can do a bias-free assessment where we'll give them a personality assessment, we give them some aptitude tests, and we can see with no unconscious bias, like anything is removed, we don't know the age, the gender, or anything like that, and we can see this is the ideal person based on what you've said you're looking for. This person is the closest, this person is the second closest, this person is the third closest. The person who's the third closest, they dropped on these two things, so you might actually want to dig into them, that their natural personality might be this, but they might have found ways to overcome that. So it's a great way to start that conversation, to be able to identify the right people for the job. And then for successful succession, we use personality profiles to be able to showcase to people and to be able to identify to people who they are and then who the other members of their family are really at their core, and then how we can best interact with each other and understand each other.
So I also heard that you were a keynote speaker. So yep. How did you know personally that you were a speaker at heart, or you truly wanted to be a speaker?
So I suppose I've always liked the idea of sharing my ideas. I mean, I've done videos, I do podcasts, interviews, I'll talk to people, and just sharing information and sharing knowledge and if I learn something, I'm always trying to tell my friends about it, and to the point that they get a bit bored. Oh, Stephen's read a new bloody book and he's now talking about this new stuff. So I'm always trying to help. I had this thing of wanting to be a keynote speaker, but really not sure what I would be talking about. Like what the last thing that I would ever want to do. And again, this is part of the imposter syndrome, but it's also, I'd hate to feel like I got up on stage for 40 minutes and wasted people's time. Now, I know I'm not going to be able to change the lives of everybody in the audience, but I want to be able to make sure that what I'm talking about for the 20 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour or whatever is adding value to the majority of people in the room. So then I was asked actually to do a talk on succession planning, and because I had done it twice myself, from buying family businesses and selling a family business. I was asked during COVID to give a talk, and that's really where the talk of build a killer family business without killing your family was born.
Mm-hmm. And what is your opinion on this idea of rewarding success? So maybe to make this easier for you, what is your definition of the difference between achievement and success?
Well, as I said, success for me is doing something that you're interested in and that you're good at. Achievement is if you're setting a goal for anything and accomplishing that goal. So whether that goal be financial, I want to have $1 million in the bank, or I want to have a Ferrari, or I want to pay down my home, or I want to buy a house for my mother, or whatever. Again, this comes back to your personality and what actually is your motivator. Not everybody's motivated by money. One of the things that COVID has really shown the world is that there are a lot of people who are actually going, you know what? I want to be able to work remotely. I want to be able to travel the world for 6 months and still be working. Like, I'll travel on the weekends and then I'll be in Paris for a couple of months. And then I'll be in Rome for a couple of months. And then I'll be in Cairo or whatever for a couple of months. So that's an achievement. If somebody says that they want to travel and they are able to find a career that allows them the flexibility to be able to work remotely, I mean, that's an achievement, being able to visit 3 countries a year. For other people, an achievement could be having a family and could be wanting to be part and build a strong family unit. An achievement could be being part of an organization bigger than yourself, being a curator of your museum, being around these beautiful pieces of art that it has, and you're part of a tradition. So really, it depends on the personality. What is the motivator for them to see what is their goal? And then achieving that goal is achievement.
So for your family business specifically, would you reward success or would you reward achievement, and why?
Well, we work together towards goals. So, and people have individual goals. And if they achieve those goals, then again, we're back to this. So the people who are working with me, I hope, are doing it because they feel successful in the organization, because they're getting to do something that they enjoy doing and they're good at what they do, all being motivated to accomplish the same thing, the vision of the business, to put the right people in the right careers. And then we have achievement. We have goals that we need to reach. Some of the goals are just, look, this is how much we need to make for the year in order to pay everybody's salary. This is what we think we can make. And if we make that, then everybody shares in that benefit. One of the things that we've always had with our family business, with all the businesses we've done, is when the family business does well, everybody within the business also does well. So everybody is rewarded when we're able to reward people for hard work and for once we are able to achieve those goals.
And what do you do in successful succession?
So successful succession is really the part of the business which is aimed at helping family businesses. So it's aimed at helping family businesses to scale through the generations, to be able to put the right person in the right place to achieve success in their family business.
Now, let's kind of allude more into your book. What do you need to know in order to have a family business?
Well, as I said, really, family businesses now are any combination of people who spend time outside of the workplace together. So, I mean, you could have brothers that have blood bond. You could have adopted family members who have grown up together or spend a large amount of their time together growing and have each other's vested interest. Same-sex couples, non-binary couples, non-binary families or whatever, who are all working together and spending time outside, not just team building, like people going to the pub on a Friday after work or going to the bar on a Friday after work. People who spend family time together, who spend social time together, to me would be considered a family, and they also have a business together.
So why did you write this book?
So as I said, I haven't actually written the book yet. I'm in the process of writing it. I have the outline done. I have most of it basically on the keynote that I give and the different mindsets. And so the book, I am writing it at the moment to try and help people to understand the process that I came up with of the 5 P's of successful succession and how people can use that process to successfully scale their business through the generations. Because I want family businesses to thrive and to succeed. And whether that's a family business that's been around for five generations, or if you've just set up a business and you want your kids to, or your family members to join you in that venture.
So
this is not the book. This is just a white paper. This is just some research that we said of, if you're a family business, these are some of the things that you need to know. And we're talking about the five P's of succession and the mindsets that you need in a family business, stuff that I talk about a lot.
Okay. So can you describe an unforgettable moment in your life where, you know, you fully recognize something about the situation that you were in with your family business? And by situation, I mean maybe the good position you were finally in with your family business, or the high point in your life.
Well, absolutely. So the reason that this all, that succession planning became so prevalent to me and so important to me, is just before my second daughter was born, I came home and I'd been arguing almost daily basis with my parents about the direction we should be taking with the business, what courses we should be doing, what technology, how we should be marketing, the messaging and everything else. And I wanted to really shake things up, and I wanted to be driving things on. And it got to the point that I came home one night, gray and wet, cold, rainy in Dublin. And I sat at the kitchen table and I said out loud for the first time, while I looked at my pregnant wife and my eldest daughter playing on the floor, that I needed to leave the family business, because if I didn't, my grandkids would never see their grandparents, because we would hate each other and we wouldn't be able to be in the same room as each other, because it was really getting that bad. As soon as I said it out loud, this is what I talk about earlier on, about getting those thoughts out of your head, my body viscerally reacted, and I knew that that was the last thing I wanted. I did not want to be leaving the family business. I didn't want to be destroying relationships, and I didn't want to leave what I enjoyed doing. So that's when I started this whole process of talking to people, interviewing people that have been there, done that. I mean, I can't have been the first person to have issues with family businesses. And as I discovered, plenty of family businesses have lots of problems. Then we started implementing some of those things. Some of them worked better than others. Some of them were a bit of a waste of time or felt a bit forced. But 12 years later, or 11 years later, through COVID, my wife and I sold our house and we renovated my family home where I grew up, where I and my sister and my parents lived, where I grew up. So we have the house separated now. So my parents live downstairs and we live upstairs. The house is fully connected, like there's internal stairs. So the kids go down and do homework. My parents come up for dinner sometimes. The dog goes up and down at dinner time. He knows when we're eating. He knows when they're eating. And last year, so we moved in just a year ago now. And on New Year's Eve, we had some friends over. And we took a photograph of my family, my parents, my sister, and some friends at the same kitchen table that was in our old house that I nearly left the family business because we couldn't stand each other. And there we are all living together in the same house, really enjoying each other's company and being able to work well with each other, to share ideas and have them as mentors. So it's been really amazing.
And just to kind of wrap this up, if you could give people some advice here, what are some healthy habits people could adopt that may have helped you or motivated you to be productive in your family business?
It's all about knowing who you are, where your strengths are, and where you're adding value to it. I mean, trying to fit yourself a square peg into a round hole is not going to work. You got to figure out where in the family business the square peg makes most sense if you want to stay in the family business. So understanding yourself, understanding the people around you in a really profound way, using personality profile or just understanding how people respond to each other. And then being able to see, okay, well, who's the best person or what's the best scenario for us to move this forward? So understanding who you are and then where you want to be.
So are there any final words or pieces of advice you could give to people who are planning on running their family businesses?
I would say do it. It's an amazing adventure. If it's something that you want to do, if there's a part of the business that you really feel that brings you joy, you think you'll be good at and you'll enjoy doing it, go for it. It can be scary. It can be daunting, but go for it. The three mindsets are to help people to become the mentor of the next generation. So they become, to go from hero your story to the mentor of the next generation story, because there is a deep need for an understanding of what got the current generation here is not going to get the next generation there. So there's different thinking, different strengths, different mindsets that are going to happen and need to happen. And then the next generation has to have internal and external development. So they need to learn about the real world. They need to go out and get some experience or some training elsewhere. And then they need to come in as low as possible in the family business and work their way up and earn their chops.
Are there any ways people could reach you out or get to know you more? Or
yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you showed my website there. So successfulsuccession.com will get me. There's links on there to go onto my Calendly, book a discovery call, have a quick Zoom call, email if there's anything I can do. The podcast is there. The blog is there. And I'm planning in the new year to shoot a couple of videos of, again, just tutorial videos talking about some of the stuff that I've learned to share my ideas. And all the information is there. And my LinkedIn is there on successfulsuccession.com/Stephen. So you had the page there. So love to hear from you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Short. This really has been a privilege for you to be on the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did. I definitely learned a lot about family businesses and the culture that works along with it.
My pleasure. Thanks a million for having me.
No problem. So just to end this off here, everyone, just a few quick shout outs. The first thing I would like to mention is LifeWork Systems. This is our affiliate partner. She is basically an HR superstar. She works in large corporate businesses and helps to improve their HR infrastructure, their relationships, and so forth, making the business a better collegial environment overall. The next thing I would like to mention is our YouTube channel. Please subscribe now. We finally hit that 100 subscriber mark. So keep on ringing that bell, keep on subscribing. It'll only make your job easier in finding more great podcasts with more great episodes like this one here. And then the next thing I like to mention is our Roku channel. Subscribe down there now. Get exclusive updates on live shows, which you may not be getting on the YouTube channel. So if you want access to that, get a Roku box, not just for this show, but for other things as well. So you could enjoy that too. And then our final thing we're offering here is Jimbo Paris Services. We're a service providing business. If you want marketing being run, SEOs run, okay, KPIs, those sorts of things. We've already worked with a few reputable corporate businesses. We would love to help your business out too to get amazing results as well. All right. I am Jimbo Paris, and this is the Jimbo Paris Show. Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.